his ministry, and we can stay here and have our ministry, right, and receive ministry here. And how many of you came out to the services this week? Weren't you blessed? Amen. Amen. I was so blessed. It was awesome. The anointing was powerful. It was very powerful. So, I mean, we are blessed people, very blessed people. I have been in Pentecost for a very long time. And, you know, in our younger years, we used to see that kind of anointing a lot. But then when I walked away from God and I came back, I was in that flow for a very long time as well. But in the latter parts of the years I was in Maine, it kind of went away. It wasn't available in the churches that I was part of. And it's so nice to be back in that anointed flow and, you know, the Holy Ghost flow. Amen. So, I mean, we should just suck it up and give it away. Suck it up and give it away. That's what we're supposed to do, right? We don't just keep it for ourselves. You're supposed to give it away once you get some. So that's what we need to do. We're going to open up in prayer, but tonight we get to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue on talking about the Holy Spirit. We saw his demonstration, and now we're going to continue talking about who he is tonight. Amen? All right, so let's open in prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your anointing, Lord. We thank you that you came and visited us this week, Lord, with your anointing and with the wonderful prophet Andre that you sent to our church, Lord, and ministered to us. We just thank you for the giftings that you placed on the inside of him. We thank you, Lord, that he is a blessing to the church today, Lord, and I pray that you would just continue to bless his life and his family. I thank you, Lord, that you've blessed Pastor while he was away, and I pray that you continue to give him safe traveling mercies as he makes his way home to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are doing great and mighty things here in our midst and in our community, Lord. We just thank you for that, and we just worship you tonight, Lord, for who you are and all that you're doing in us individually as well, Lord. And we just thank you that you're growing us up and that you are causing us to be your people. Finally, again, Lord, we are your people. And I pray, God, that as we continue to change and develop, that you would just be so proud of the children that you've raised. And I pray, God, that as we worship you tonight with the word, your word, Lord, that you would just minister to our spirit, man, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So last week, I think you ended with talking about who is Jesus, right? Did you end? Oh, no. Well, they told me to move on to the Holy Spirit. So we are going to move on. And if Pastor has to back it up, he can back it up wherever he left off. But we're going to move it on. So we are in chapter 3. If you're following along in your book, we're in chapter 3, page 21. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. Amen? He is not an it. A lot of people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it, right? He is not an it. He is a him. Amen? He is the Holy Spirit, is God. And as you go into chapter 4, you're going to get more teaching about who he is as he's part of the Godhead. But he is he's part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three, yet they are one, right? And they have individual personalities and characteristics. So they are three, but one. And, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not different. What he did back in Moses' day, he's still doing today. So he's not changed. You know, our times have changed. We've changed. People changed. God does not change. Amen? He's always the same. We can count on the fact that he's always going to be the same. We're not always the same. Right? I mean, did you ever meet people that you thought, oh, they're going to be exactly the same. Now, you haven't seen them in 20 years. And then you finally get connected, reconnected with them. Are they the same that they were 20 years ago? No, they're not. Because why? People change. But God does not change. Amen? He's the same. So who is the Holy Spirit and how does he interact with us today? Right? So we know that God the Father, the Godhead does not change, but how does he deal with mankind? How he does he deal with mankind has changed. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was not on the inside of them, right? The Holy Spirit would come upon them, but not reside in them. When you got born again, the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you. Thank God, right? Because how would you keep yourself straight if the Holy Ghost did not live on the inside of you? You couldn't, right? That's why they had such difficulty, the Israelites had such difficulty behaving, because the Holy Ghost didn't live on the inside of them. That's why so many rules and regulations had to be put in place, because they could not keep themselves in order, right? So, I mean, think about it. We have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of us. We should not have an issue behaving or obeying, right? It's who rules. Who rules us? Does your flesh rule you or does the Holy Ghost rule you? Those are our choices, right? I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. All right, so how he has dealt with mankind has changed. So when Adam and Eve were walking in the cool of the day, they were walking with the Father. And the Father dealt with man from Adam when differently than, hold on, pastor's notes sometimes get me. The Father dealt with man from Adam to when Jesus came on the scene, right? So he dealt with him in the way that when Jesus came on the scene, he came to the earth. So he's walking the earth, right? And the Son was the person of the Godhead who was working with mankind at that point. God was working with Adam himself at that point in the earth when Adam was in the earth. When Jesus came, Jesus was working with mankind on the earth, right? And we can see that from Scripture. Let's look at John 14, 6 and 7. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So he was explaining to, Jesus was explaining to man that if he goes away, I'm going to send somebody else in my place who will help you all the time. And, you know, you got to figure, people then didn't understand what he was talking about, right? You figure, somebody's going to come live inside of me, huh? You know, like Nicodemus, when Jesus told him he had to be born again, he's like, how can I go back into a woman again, right? How can I go back into a woman being a full grown person? You know, literal sense, he didn't understand what it meant to be born again, in the sense that, you know, he had to, you know, be washed of his sin. What he's saying to man is, I'm going to send you somebody to help you, but he's going to live on the inside of you. What does that mean? The Holy Ghost living on the inside of you is, you don't understand it until you get born again. Amen? Like, you don't understand that until he comes and lives on the inside of you. And then you see the changes that he makes on the inside of you. You no longer want to do the old stuff that you did or hang around with the old people that you hung around with. Amen? So even though we don't fully understand when we get born again what it means to be born again, the Holy Spirit shows us in time. It takes time. Sanctification takes time. Amen? It doesn't happen overnight. You know, you might not give up those nasty old cigarettes, you know, overnight. You know? No. And it takes time. You know, it takes time for him to work those things out of you. You know, I didn't have a smoking problem, but I had a bad attitude problem. And it took him a long time to work the bad attitude problem out. The red hair, it gets you every time, right? And, you know, the old man that is on the inside of you takes time to work itself out. And so the more opportunity that you lay yourself down to the Holy Spirit, the more opportunity he has to work out the nastiness in you. But it's all what you give him. It's all how much you give him, how much license you give him to make changes on the inside of you. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is God working with us right now on the earth. So he's here working on the earth inside of you, inside of me, and he's working through us on the earth, right? Jesus is not here on the earth working with us. The Holy Spirit is working with us in the earth. That is the difference. All right. So, you know, and Pastor has in his notes here that when we were children, you know, growing up in the Pentecostal church, we were told not to pray to the Holy Ghost. Yeah. We were only to pray to Jesus. Right? But you can pray to the Holy Ghost. We sing about the Holy Spirit. Why wouldn't you pray to the Holy Ghost when he's the one working on the inside of you? He's the one that's guiding you and leading you. He is the voice of God on the earth leading and guiding you. Why wouldn't you? Have you ever read the book by Benny Hinn, Good Morning, Holy Spirit? That is a really good book. If you have not read that, you should read it. It's a great book. Benny Hinn. Benny, B-E-N-N-Y, and his last name is H-I-N-N. It's really a good book. After I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, that was one of the first books I ever read. And it was helped enlighten me about the Holy Spirit and how you can really have a real relationship with him. See, we should be striving to have a real relationship with God through, you know, God the Father, God the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, right? Three in one. And we can have that with all three of them. Amen? All right, let's look at John 16:14. We're talking about the Holy Spirit here. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit is never going to contradict the Word of God. He is always going to agree with the Word of God. He is always going to lead you by the Word of God. He is always going to say what God says, right? Because he's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They all have the same story. They all have the same words. They all have the same, they're in agreement. Amen? So they're not going to contradict each other. They're all going to tell you the same thing. They're in agreement. So he glorifies the Son. And he should not be ignored. He should not be ignored. We should be paying attention to him. Amen? We should pay attention to the Holy Ghost. He's important. He is really critical in our lives. He's the one that says, don't go there. Don't go there. You don't want to go there. You know, those friends are not good for you. That girl is bad news. That guy just wants to do bad stuff. You really don't want to accept that invitation, right? He's that voice that's talking to you that says, hey, settle down. That's a bad attitude you get there, girl. You know, that's his voice talking because he's on the earth talking to you. Amen? And me. So we have to pay attention to that voice, and he is that voice. Amen? All right, so what does the Holy Spirit do in my life every day? He keeps me sane. He keeps me out of trouble a lot, you know. He keeps me calm. a lot. Yes, amen. He is the one who lives on the inside of us. He comes to live on the inside of us when we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. Amen? So everyone's asked Jesus to be their Lord and Savior here? Has everyone? Awesome. That's wonderful. Let's look at Ezekiel 36:27. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. John 14:17. The spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? For if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? That's our choice. We get to choose. You know, when you go to that place that you know that the Holy Ghost said, are you sure you want to go there? Because I don't want to go there. You're taking him with you. Amen? You're going someplace and he doesn't want to go. He's kicking and screaming on the inside saying, no, I don't want to go there. Right? Because he knows it's not good for you. Are you sure you want to watch that movie? Because I don't want to watch that movie. I can remember when I used to like the show Friends, and you know that show is not good, you know, and this is like a long time ago. It's old now. Sorry, you probably don't even remember that show, do you? They're just still playing it, aren't they? Well, it can be a little fussy sometimes about some of the topics they talk about, but the thing is that the Lord was trying to teach me about the stuff that I was watching. And he was trying to show me that there was things that I didn't need to watch. And so I would get convicted every single time I would watch that show. And I remember distinctly sitting in front of the TV one night and the show came on and I'm like, oh, I love that show. I can't watch that show, but I love that show. And it came on and it played 5 minutes and I'm like, and I heard, turn it off. I'm like, God, I love that show, though. And so far, they're not talking about anything bad. And 5 minutes later, he's like, I told you to turn it off. All right. You know, but the thing is like, I could hear the voice. My eye gates didn't need to see. And he was training me that I didn't need to be watching that garbage. Right? Because what you see and what you hear goes into your heart, right? The Bible says in Proverbs, be careful of what goes into your eye gates and what goes into your ear gates, because they become the issue, the issues of your life, right? Becomes the wellspring of your life. And what goes in is going to come out. What you put in is what you're going to think about, what you're going to meditate on. It's where your thought life begins and ends. So what you're hearing, what you're seeing matters. If it didn't matter, why would God tell us about it? You know, that's the thing. So, I mean, being selective about what we watch and what we hear, you know, it's necessary, you know. Oh, I did too. I watched soap operas for years. Yeah, and then you begin to fantasize about, wow, look at Rock. Isn't he wonderful? Oh, if only my husband would act like that. If only my husband would treat me like that. And next thing you know, you're so down on your husband, and he's probably the sweetest thing on the face of the earth, and your husband can never match up to Rock, you know, because he's a dirtbag, right? All of a sudden, he's a dirtbag, but he's great. He's wonderful. He's born again. He's spirit-filled, but he doesn't match up to Rock, who's, you know, wonderful on the soap opera, because your life is a fantasy land. Same thing with smut novels. I used to read those things one after another. After I got born again, God said, put them down. Do not pick up another one. And do not pick up another one. I remember one day going to pick another one up because said, I told you no. That's the Holy Ghost talking to you. And I haven't picked another one up since then. You know why? Because I want to obey. My obedience means more than me reading a smut novel. Because again, you build fantasies off from that stuff. It's not real. Some woman sitting in her office in California building those stories because she has nothing else going on in her life. And you have so much more going on in your life. Amen? And God wants to do so much more in your life than have you spend your time reading those stories. Amen? So the Holy Ghost is talking to you all the time, whether you are listening or not, whether I'm listening or not. So the Holy Spirit literally lives on the inside of each one of us. Isn't that cool? How he doesn't have to like pick one person and just pick one guy and say, yep, this is where I'm going to live. No, he gets to each one of us has that. He shows no partiality. He loves every one of us the same, right? And that is a true father. You know, I try never to show my kids favoritism. You know, one of them might make me a little more angry than the other one, but I try never to show favoritism, you know, because they feel it. They do. Kids feel that, you know, and you don't want to feel like your parent loves one over the other. Right? I don't want to feel like my Father in heaven loves Gabby more than he loves me. And he doesn't do that. The Holy Ghost is no respecter of persons. Amen? If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, he's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost and with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, just like he'll fill me with the same evidence. You just have to open this little thing underneath your nose and ask. Right? Ask. Seek and knock. And if you don't ask, then that's on you. But it's not on God. It's on you. Amen? All right, we better move on. All right, so the Holy Spirit was different in the old and under the old covenant. He came upon people. He didn't reside in people. So he came upon them for purposes, so to do them with power for specific reasons. So if he, so with the prophets, he came upon the prophets to deliver messages for God to the people. The ones that actually had them living on the inside of them were the ones that actually worked on the tabernacle. And you can find that in Exodus 31, 1 through 5. So those people that worked in the tabernacle, on the tabernacle, they actually did have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of them. But the normal people did not, right? They only had the Holy Spirit come upon them when they needed to do something. It was for a purpose. We are so blessed. The kings, the prophets, and the priests had the Holy Spirit come upon them. And under the new covenant, we get to actually have him live on the inside of us. We are possessed. Amen? In the good sense of possession. Yes. All right. So the Holy Spirit is not an it or a thing. He is a he. Amen? He is God. And he has a personality. How many like personality? See, I love personalities. I love people. Huh? Yeah, you get to be yourself, right? I mean, everybody's different. I love people because everyone is different. You know, we all have different, you know, ways and quirkiness, and I think that's awesome. I don't want to be the same as everyone else, and I am not. No, and that's good. It's a great thing. And the Holy Spirit is different in the sense that he has different personality traits than Jesus, right? The Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three in one, they each have different character traits, right? Personality traits. We're going to get into those. All right. The Spirit speaks. So he's not silent. How many know the Holy Ghost is not silent? He is not silent. Acts 8:29 says, and then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. Acts 10:19 and 20 says, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. How many of you have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit before? How many have heard it audibly, like a voice out here, not up here, out here? Yeah. So, I mean, he can speak to you audibly, like someone is talking to you right next to you. Or he can speak to you in your heart, right? That still small voice in your heart. He can be loud, just like the guy next door, or he can be very soft and very gentle. But he can get your attention. Amen? The Spirit teaches. Let's look at John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So this is awesome. This thing that I'm going to say is, like, a lot of times you might be someplace and God brings somebody to you. And they are downcast or whatever. And God may bring a scripture to your mind that will encourage them. That's the Holy Spirit bringing, teach you. He's taught you scripture, and now he's bringing it up in your spirit so that you can relay it to that person and encourage them in the Lord. That's bringing it to your remembrance, bringing to remembrance the word of God so that you can be a help to that person. There's nothing better than that. That's why you want to learn scripture. Memorize scripture if you can. You don't have to, like, memorize the whole Bible. So I was on the, we had a Bible quiz team when I was in a youth. And we had to learn for competition the whole book of Romans. We had to memorize the whole book of Romans. I don't think I would remember even a quarter of it today. But I, at one point, had memorized the whole book of Romans, chapter and verse. And I could tell you what the whole book of Romans was without ever looking at it. But the awesomeness is if you memorize scripture, you'll have it, and God can bring it to your remembrance so that you can encourage somebody when they need encouraging. Amen? So practice memorizing scripture. It's really important. All right, the Spirit guides. John 16:12-13 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. Remember I said that the Holy Spirit is not going to say something different than God. He's going to tell you the same things that God is going to say, right? He's telling you what God says, the word. He's confirming God's word, period. He's not coming up with his own story. He's not coming up with his own spin. He's coming up with the word of God, period. Period, right? All right. The Spirit guides us into every decision that you need to make. Have you ever, like, totally relied on him to make a decision? Like, I mean, gone to him and said, all right, Holy Spirit, I need to make a choice here. So I need your guidance. And I'm not making it without knowing that it came from you. I'm not making this on my own. Because when you put yourself in that position and you don't move until you've heard what to do, and you know that you know that you know that you heard from God, you have peace. Amen? And you, when you now can step out in peace there's something to be said about being able to make decisions in peace. Amen? When you make snap decisions, it's not good. There's you know, buyer's remorse. Ramifications and buyer's remorse, not buyer's remorse, but, you know, you regret. You don't want to regret. That's why, you know, asking God about decisions that you're making, choices that you're making, you know, which way should I go, Lord? Which, you know, lead me, guide me. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. He's supposed to be leading you and guiding you. He's not going to make you do it. He just wants you to ask him. Right? You ask him. You give him that place. You open your heart to give him the place. And he will help you. Amen? All right. The Holy Spirit can help you from making wrong and dangerous decisions. Truly. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. Some of you might have. More mature Christians might have seen that movie. Remember Cruz? Is it Nikki Cruz? From the, like, 1970s, where he got wrapped up in a gang. Yeah. Yeah, Switchblade, right? The cross and the Switchblade. And he was part of a gang, and he got mixed up with the wrong people. And God protected him, right, and saved his life. And he actually got born again. And didn't he become like a leader of, what's that men's, Teen Challenge? There you go. Oh boy, that's reaching way, way back here. But he actually became the head of a huge men's organization, Christian men's organization, Teen Challenge, that is still going today, where they help young men who've been in drugs and prison, bad situations, come out of it and lead great Christian, born-again Christian lives and become pastors and all kinds of things. But that man should have been dead so many times, and God protected him and got him out of dangerous situations and from making dangerous decisions. Yeah. I'm sure Pastor Mike can. Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so Nikki Cruz was brought to Elmira in Brother John Bedzik's church. Elmira Christian Church, yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes. So, I mean, his life is a huge testimony to the Holy Spirit protecting him. And so if you ever find yourself in a situation where you need protection, cry out to the Holy Spirit, and he will be there to protect you. He can change it. Amen. He can change that situation in a second. So that's what he's there for. Let's look at Acts 16, 6 and 7. And now when they had gone through Pyra and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into, Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. There have been missionaries who have said, and I've heard them with my own ears, we expect to go here, but then the Lord said we couldn't go. The Holy Spirit said, don't go. You know, there are people who have, my father-in-law used to travel to Australia a lot for business. And he said the Lord stopped him so many times from getting on the plane. And those planes had trouble. One plane went down. And his life was spared because that plane went down. You know, because he listened to the Lord. So, I mean, if you will listen, you can be spared trouble. So we need to keep our ears open. Amen? keep our ears open. It's really important. The Spirit intercedes. Let's look at Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you don't know what to pray, that is the perfect time to go and start praying in your prayer language, in tongues. If you don't know what prayer language is, in tongues. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can be. Amen? Just ask God. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with power. And when you don't know what to pray, he does know what to pray. And he's praying the perfect will of God. Right? So did you ever start praying in English and, you know, you start off really powerful and then the next thing you know, you're off on this bunny rabbit trail and you go around and you're all over the place. A lot of times I may start off in English, but 9 times out of 10, I'm starting to pray in the Holy Ghost because I don't know what the perfect will of God is in my English language. I only know what the perfect will of God is in the Holy Ghost. So I want his perfect will, not mine. Eventually, I'm going to pray mine if I pray in English, what I want to see, right? What I think should happen. Who do I think I am? I don't know anything. Only he knows the perfect will of God. Only he knows what should happen. I can speculate. You know, I want his plan. My plan? I'm going to mess it up. His plan's perfect. Amen? All right, the Spirit can agree. Let's look at John 15:26-27. But when the Helper comes, whom shall I send to you from the Father? Whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So the Holy Spirit bears witness. He's in agreement with the Father. He's not opposite of the Father. He's in agreement with the Father. He's in agreement with Jesus. Amen? All right. The Spirit has a mind and thinks. Let's look at John 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And in 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit has a mind and he thinks. He knows exactly what God wants to do. He knows what God wants to do. He can come up with the plan, right? He has the plan. He has the perfect plan. He knows how to implement God's plan. All he needs to do is get you to cooperate with him. Amen? That's the hardest part for him because we don't like to cooperate. We like to think that we can do our own thing and we know what is the best thing for us, right? We do not. We have no clue in the world. We have no clue in the world. We do not know. But the thing is that we think we do. And we just need to learn how to cooperate. Amen? We like it when our children cooperate, don't we? It makes our lives easier. Don't you think God's saying the same thing? Jeez, I wish she would just cooperate with me. Things would go so much smoother if she would just cooperate with me. You know? We could have done this. We could have had this done 5 years ago if she just would have cooperated with me. But here we go. We're going to go around the mountain again. Right? Imagine the Israelites. If they just would have cooperated with him, they would have got into the promised land in 10 days, not 40 years later. Right? I think it was an 11-day journey or a 10-day journey. They would have gotten in there a lot sooner than 40 years later. All right. All right, the Spirit loves. Let's look at Romans 15:30. Now I beg you, brethren, there through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. So that's Paul talking, and he's asking them to pray for him, right? He's asking the people to pray for him. We can be we can be in agreement with the Holy Spirit through love for people. Amen? We need to love people. People need love. Who doesn't need love in here? We all need it. Amen? So we need to cooperate in love with the Spirit of God. And He loves. He loves like the Father. He can't do anything different. He's just like the Father and the Son. He loves. He loves people. And we have to love people. Amen? The Spirit makes decision and exercises His will. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12:11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And He's talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So when the gift of faith, if He decides to give Deb the gift of faith, He's going to give her the gift of faith tonight. That's His gift to her. If He decides to, you know, if He decides to give Gabby the word of wisdom, that's His gift to her tonight, to operate in the gift, in the word of wisdom. You know, He gives the gifts as He wills. He chooses whom He's going to operate through each time. It's His decision. So He exercises His will. Amen? It's our job, if you want to be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's our job to ask and pray that God would use us in those gifts. Because they're available to all of us, but we have to ask that God use us in those giftings. So that's our part. Amen? Now, it's the Holy Spirit who wills and decides where He's going to do that. But we just have to be the open vessel and the open heart. Amen? All right. The Spirit comforts and counsels us. How many have been counseled and comforted by the Holy Ghost? You know, if you've ever gone through a tragedy and, you know, when I lost my husband, I mean, I don't know how I would have got through that without the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how people go through the loss of a loved one without the Holy Spirit, because grief is a horrible thing, you know? And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, how do you get through that, you know? And depression is so quick to come upon somebody. How do you stave off depression without the Holy Ghost? I don't know how. And so, you know, it's really important that we recognize that spirit of comfort and we recognize that spirit of counsel, because He can also be our counselor. When we think we need to go see the psychiatrist, lock yourself in your room with your Bible. That will be the cheapest counseling session you've ever had. Amen? You just lock yourself down in your prayer closet with your Bible, and you'll save yourself $200, because that will be godly counsel. It will be the best thing you ever did for yourself. He is the comforter, and He is the counselor. John 14, did I already go through this? No, I don't think I did. John 14:16-17 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, in the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you." I think we read that one for a different purpose, but it's okay. It's still good. All right. The Spirit is our supernatural baptizer. How many like that word, supernatural? I know. You know, it's supernatural. It has a cool ring to it, doesn't it? Yeah, supernatural. The thing is that the world is looking for something supernatural, right? They don't want the normal. They don't want the everyday ho-hum kind of thing. They want something spectacular. And what better thing could you give them than the supernatural? Amen? They don't understand. We're not talking about the demonic supernatural. We're talking about the heavenly supernatural. Amen? which is far more profitable than the demonic supernatural. And like a lot of people, and now I never have been to a psychic before or any of those. I never dabbled in any of that stuff. But I know that, you know, with the prophet here the other night, a lot of people might say, well, what's the difference? But I say the difference is he's talking about your destiny with God. He's talking about what God wants to do in you and through you. He's talking about where God's going to take you in your life. He's talking about, you know, the plans and purposes that God has set aside for you. He's not talking about, you know, Aunt Jane, who has been dead for 45 years and how she wants to talk to you. Hello, I don't want to talk to her. She's dead and gone. I don't want to talk to her. She's, you know, that psychic is talking to you about that boyfriend that you're going to meet in 5 years down the road, and you're going to look for that person for 5 years, and you're never going to find them because she doesn't know what she's talking about, right? It's the devil talking to you. They don't know what they're talking about, but the Holy Ghost knows what he's talking about. Amen? So, you know, like I said, I never went to a psychic. I never was attracted to any of that stuff. And I think it was because I grew up in the Pentecostal church and we saw supernatural stuff. We saw the supernatural happening all the time. Every Sunday we saw the supernatural. Or every Wednesday we saw the supernatural. So it was not abnormal to see people's legs growing out or somebody's ears opening up or somebody who is blind having them see again or people getting filled with the Holy Ghost. We saw that every week. So the supernatural was normal growing up. But I always felt like that was fake. Like the demonic was fake. Like, you couldn't trust that stuff. And I was at a work function a few years ago, and all the ladies were talking about how they were going to go see the psychic, like, the next night. And they said, oh, don't you want to come with us? I'm like, why would I waste my time? I can just pray and ask God what I'm going to do and or what's going to happen, and he fills me in. I don't need to go see somebody who doesn't have no idea about me when the God of my heart knows everything about me, and he can tell me what I need to know. I don't need to go see somebody who doesn't know anything about me, you know? And all they want is your money. Yeah, well, they think they are. They're not really, but they think they are. And they're deceivers, you know, because they work for the enemy. So there's a lot of people who have lost money. They've lost money paying these psychic phone psychics and everything. Yes.
I would just like to say, years ago, I don't know if you know Jordan. His mother came to him and told him, ask for him or whatever. I went.
Honestly, I, as a young girl, I could sense, had a very keen sense to a demonic spirit. So I could sense the demonic very quickly. And we used to go to, on a family, all the people from our church used to vacation together. So we used to go to this Camp Skyland and in Vermont, and we would go, and there was a, like a recreation room. It was like a building, recreation building. And they had like the pool table, and they had all this, you know, billiards, and they had games and all that kind of stuff. Well, they had a Ouija board there. And I went to that building one evening with a whole bunch of the other kids, and I didn't know that there were there were other people that staying at the park. And so we didn't know that they actually had the Ouija board out and were doing some stuff with it. And so the kids that I was with, as soon as we walked in the building, I just had this sense that there was something evil going on. And we got further into the room and I saw that they had the Ouija board and I'm like, I'm out of here. See ya. I'm like, I'm gone. You know, I'm not sticking around. And a couple of the kids did stay and it's like, and it got weird because why? The devil shows up, right? And it's like, I just could not stay because it was just, I had that sense that there was some evil there. And so, yeah, I can go, as a realtor, I can go into homes and I can sense evil when I'm in those homes. Yeah. So, I mean, I love the fact that God gives you discerning of spirits, that you can go into places and know that you might need to plead the blood over yourself, plead the blood of Jesus over yourself. You might need to, yeah, you're going to be fine, but you might need to pray. You know, when you go in someplace, you might need to pray. There might be a reason why you need to pray, but you can. Amen. And you'll be fine. But the Holy Ghost is there to tell you. We just need to be listening. Amen. All right. I better move it along. I'm going to get in trouble. I've got 7 minutes. Okay. All right. The Spirit is the one who brings conviction. How many have ever been convicted before? All right, let's see. John 16:8-11. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of the world is judged. So conviction is our friend. Say it. Conviction is our friend. If you do not feel conviction, you need to question whether or not you really got born again. It's true. Because conviction, we should all feel conviction on a daily basis, right? If we're participating in something that we know is wrong, we should feel conviction. There's no two ways about that one, okay? There is a difference between conviction and condemnation. Now, a lot of churches teach bad stuff. They teach you condemnation, and there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? So we need to know what the difference is. Conviction occurs when we are in sin or have not made things right with God. And the Holy Spirit will bring guilt and a check in our heart, right? And remind us that we've done something that we need to correct, done something against God that we need to bring correction to, right? If we've told a lie, we need to bring correction to that. If we've slandered somebody, we need to bring correction to that. Whatever it is, we need to bring correction to. We need to ask forgiveness and we need to repent. And what does repent mean? It means to turn direction, turn away, turn 180 degrees the other way. That means don't do it again. You know? So conviction is our friend. And it's the Holy Spirit's way of protecting us from wounding the one that loves us the most, and that's Jesus. Because, you know, habitual sin will drive you away from God. It's the devil's way of driving you away from God. The more times you commit that habitual sin, the further you get away from God because you think you've done it too many times. I have to get away from God. There's nothing I can, he won't love me because I've done it too many times. I've done it too many times. And you turn because you don't believe that God could actually forgive you. And that's his plan. He wants you to believe that. But that's not true, because God will always forgive you. But in your Christian walk, if you're maturing, there comes a time where you have to say, no, I'm not going to continue to commit that habitual sin anymore. You have to draw the line in the sand. Say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. Because your walk with Jesus means more. You don't want to hurt Jesus anymore. Amen? You love Jesus too much to do that. So that's where the difference is about sin. Now, sometimes we fall into sin accidentally. We didn't mean to. It was something that wasn't planned. You know, maybe something happened and you instantly told the lie or whatever, and you instantly felt conviction. And it's not like you planned to tell that lie. It just kind of like slipped out of your mouth or whatever. It was just like, it was in a situation where you just, it just blurted it out. You have an opportunity. You know, God knows your heart. You didn't plan on doing it that way. You have an opportunity to repent and make it right. It's not like you're, you know, walking in that on a daily basis. I think the longer that you're a Christian, the more mature you become, you don't sin all that much anymore. It's not, you tend not to do that anymore because, you know, you don't want to hurt God. You know, you just respect him too much. There's certain things I would never do that my parents, I knew would irritate my parents or upset my parents, so I wouldn't do them. Why? Because I respect their position. I respected them too much. I didn't want to hurt them. So I wouldn't do it, right? Not that I couldn't if I wanted to, but I just didn't because it would hurt them. I was an adult. I could do it, but I chose not to. It's kind of the same thing, except for that sin hurts you and the Father. So sin is never a good idea. Condemnation is not of God. And this is when you've been forgiven for a sin and it's been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness and then you continue to bring it back up again because you can't forgive yourself. You know, I have been that victim of beating myself to death with my own bat, you know, even though I know better. But you know what? It doesn't do anybody any good and you just hurt yourself. No one else is getting hurt by it, just you. The devil's having a field day because he doesn't have to beat you up. You're doing it all on your own. Let it go. If you've repented, just let it go. I think that's the biggest lesson that I've learned in the last couple of years. God, you know, God has been teaching me, be kind to yourself. You know, when you have repented, move on, because you staying in that condemnation doesn't do you any good and doesn't do anybody else any good. You're no good to anybody. Amen? All right. You can't lie to the Holy Ghost. Say, no, we can't do that. Ananias and Sapphira found that out really quickly and they ended up dying, you know, for lying. That's not good. Acts 5:3, and Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit, and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? The thing is that Ananias didn't have to give any of that money. It was a choice. He could have chose to keep it all. Instead, he ended up lying, and he had kept part of it, and he said, no, he didn't. You know, just tell the truth. It saves a lot of trouble. Amen? All right, you can insult the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:29, oh, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled on the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. So, we can insult the Holy Spirit. Let's not do that. You know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's not do that either. You know, it's possible. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So our actions, our attitudes can grieve the Holy Spirit, can cause him to be sad, you know? We have to be careful of what we do and say. you can speak evil or blasphemy. Matthew 12, 31 and 32. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So, you know, we need to be careful of our words. You know, don't deny the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And, you know, we need to just be careful. These days, this day and age, people are not careful with their words. People are just flippant. We've all been flippant with our words. But we need to be careful when we're talking about our Lord and how much he means to us and who he is. And he needs to be glorified. Amen? That's what we're here to do, is glorify him. All right, so there's different symbols or illustrations of the nature and the character of the Holy Spirit. The oil is one, is found in both in the Old and the New Testament. The oil represents the anointing, and I can always remember this. I'll never, ever, ever forget this analogy of the anointing. Pastor Rhonda used to, and this happened to her early on in her, as the Lord was developing her in the gifts. She was up in Maine. We were in Maine. She was doing special services with Pastor Mike. And I remember her coming home. We all went home back to our house after the services. And I remember her saying that she saw Pastor stepping into the oil. And it was gold puddles on the floor. And every time he stepped, his foot would step into the puddle, it would splash. It was splash. And she used to see like different stuff like that. And but that's the anointing. Amen? That's the anointing. It represented the anointing. 1 Samuel 16, 12 and 13. So he sent and brought it in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. The Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So the oil is for anointing, right? For setting apart. When the prophet was here the other night, he anointed us with oil and set us apart. Amen? When he prayed over us the last night. He set us apart. And that's what it's for. And Acts 10:38 says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Amen? All right, the fire is another illustration and symbol of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit has diverse purposes. It's to burn away the sin in our lives. It's to empower and excite us to the supernatural deeds. And Matthew 3:11 says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." He's talking about John the Baptist was talking about the Holy Spirit who is coming. Jesus, the Holy Spirit is coming. All right, and then the Spirit, like a dove, the Holy Spirit is tender and sensitive, and he is. Mark 1, 10 and 11 says, "And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from the heaven and saying, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" So the Holy Spirit also is represented as a dove, gentle. All right. The seal of God. The Holy Spirit seals us unto salvation. Amen. You are sealed for salvation by the Holy Spirit. The Roman seal is what it is likened to. And they would seal, the Roman seal was a piece of metal that they had carved out the Roman, you know, seal or whatever of Caesar. I think it was usually a picture of his head. They would take a piece of, they'd melt wax, and then they'd take the stamp and they'd put it into the wax, and it would actually seal an envelope or the scroll or whatever. And so it couldn't be open. It was an insignia. And it would show that it was official, right? It would show it was an official document or it was sacred or whatever, protected. And that's what we are. We are sealed by the Holy Ghost. We are officially sacred and protected. We are God's. Amen? All right. And also, another illustration is the spring of water. And this is talking about how the Holy Spirit will erupt in your spiritual man when you are filled with him, right? John 4, 13 and 14 says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So the Holy Spirit should be bubbling up on the inside of you. Amen. I'm not going to sing that song either. No, I'm not. I'm not pastor. But it should be bubbling up on the inside of you. And the Bible says that you can stir up your most holy faith. When you pray in the Spirit, you are stirring up the gifting on the inside of you. You are stirring up the springs of living water on the inside of you, getting yourself ready for your day. Amen. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. All right. So now you know who the Holy Spirit is. Amen? All right. And next week, Pastor, I think, is going to be talking about the Trinity, the Godhead. So, and he may like finish up on Jesus, whatever, wherever he stopped. So are we good? Any questions? All good? All right. It's 8:08 and I went over. I never go over. Sorry, guys. I'm not Pastor. Oh, thanks. All right. Well, have an awesome week. Come to church on Sunday and worship. We will see you on Sunday. All right. Love you guys.